Well, we some of you are unaware, but we finished 2 Peter. I think that's because you didn't believe that we could get through a whole chapter in 1 week. We did it. So we wrapped it up, and possibly I was motivated because I had this next series beginning on my mind, and I ran it past Carlton and Ken, and we prayed about it and talked about it, and we felt that this is where God has us. So there's unity, and we believe this is where God has us. So we're going to talk about sharing the gospel and your life as well. But before we get into that, and that's taken from 1 Thessalonians 2:8, and that's, we won't be zeroed in on 1 Thessalonians, but just wanted to let you know where the title came from. And as we wrapped up last week, we wrapped up 2 Peter, as the way that God works things. I believe there's a connection there from where we ended up there and to where we start with this. You know, what we usually do is, usually we're teaching through a series, a book of the Bible, and that's where we are the most comfortable. That's what we want to do. But in between, many times we'll have just a short series on a topic, on something that God is dealing with us on, and we've actually done this one a few times before. We've talked about the gospel and sharing your faith. But for some reason, I think God has us back here. And I think we're going to dig into it a little bit deeper this time. And we're going to talk about some very practical things. Now, we're not going to really get in deep to it today, but this does not take away the spiritual aspect of it. And I think you'll understand that as we move through today. But last week, you remember we talked about how Peter wrapped things up, and this attitude and his focus was, there's a deadline. There's a deadline that Jesus is coming back. And for some reason, as I was sharing with the kids this morning, you know, we have a tendency to doubt that. Maybe not intellectually, some of us intellectually, but in how we live, we tend to doubt that. Just like when Jesus came the first time, that was doubted, wasn't it? Oh, worldwide, that was basically doubted, even though the information was out there. The flood was doubted, wasn't it? Everything that God says He's going to do is doubted. And there is a deadline. There is an end coming. And we have a little bit of time, whatever remaining in your lifetime, possibly, and very possibly sooner than that. So that does something to us, doesn't it? We talked about that. You have a deadline. You have a deadline. You have a test to take. You have a project at work. If there's a deadline put on it, then that tends to raise the intensity and it tends to get you focused. And so I believe that was part of Peter's, what his thinking, part of the Holy Spirit's thinking behind 2 Peter chapter 3, is that there's a deadline. We need to get focused. We need to narrow down. You know, if there's certain things that light can do if it's focused. A laser. You know, there's certain things that diffused light cannot do. And there's certain things that we can do in our life if we get focused and if we clear out the things that are not necessary. If we quit settling for the good and we take the best. So that's where we are headed today. And I believe that's where Peter was setting us up for this week. So I hope that you responded during the week. And I don't know if you go to the website that often, but Josh put up a cool thing at the end of the message notes. There was a little space there that was where you could type in. You could write in your, I don't think it broadcast over the whole web, but just for you personally. But what is God dealing with you on, and how are you going to respond to that? Have you responded? Did you respond? We talked about this last week, that we don't, this is not just an exercise when we discuss these things. There's an expectation when the body that you are a part of is dealing with something and going somewhere, there's an expectation that you are a part of it, that you are responding personally and corporately. So the expectation was, you remember, I asked you, has God dealt with you on anything in the past weeks and the months? Has He called you to something? Has He dealt with you some area of obedience? Some area of omission that you need to do, or some sin of commission, something that needs to happen. And most of you, I believe, from your facial expression, a couple of raised hands, that God was dealing with you on something. So I'm encouraging you, if we are going to move on to this next step, you have to deal with these things. You have to grow and be where God wants you to be if we're going to respond how God wants us to respond here. So there is a deadline. There's many parables that allude. We have this vineyard we're left to care for. We've been given this responsibility. And the owner's coming back. And we need to take care of it. We need to operate in the fashion that he's given us to operate. And so that's where we're headed today. So keep these things in mind. You're still here. You're still breathing. It's not too late. It's not too late. If he has dealt with you on something, you haven't responded, you jot those things down. And take some steps. And grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, because he's calling you to something. He has a mission for you. He has a calling on your life. But if you can just piddle around and be diffused, or you can accomplish what God has for you to accomplish in your life. And I believe that that is centered around what we're going to talk about today. Whose mission are you on? We've talked about this before. This is introductory today, but it's a critical step in going where we're going. Whose mission are you on? You used to be on your own mission. You used to be possibly on the devil's mission. But something changed when you put your trust in Christ. When you accepted his substitutional death on the cross and the Holy Spirit came to live in you. And he gave you a new purpose and a meaning. Your purpose for living, you have a new mission. John Miller, I don't want you to get confused and think that we're talking about sharing the gospel, winning the lost. We're going to talk about those things for the sake of building up a bigger church. John Miller, we studied a book back a couple of years ago that he wrote. He has this to say about evangelism. If a church grows without Christ actively present in their midst, transforming lives and opening hearts, a church may grow larger, but will just be a large, ingrown church. Church growth that is not inspired by faith in Christ's power to transform lives is dangerous. Our objective is not, we don't really have any kind of objective to grow big. But we do have an objective to see people come into the kingdom. That is a strong objective. Do you realize that most of the promises of God, the things that we like to grab hold of, the things we like to claim, that most of those things are said within the context of a mission. There's seven. God promises his presence to go with us. Well, let's go to a verse. Matthew 28, an obvious one, and one you are very familiar with. Matthew 28, 18. I'm sure we've read this verse in this church no less than 1,000 times. And you notice at the end there, there's a promise. There's a promise at the end. Now, if you look at most of the promises in Scripture, and you look at the promises in the New Testament, such as God answering our prayer, about us having peace and joy, those things normally, if you look at the context, which we should always look at the context of a verse, the context is those things are placed in a mission. In other words, if you are on God's mission, these things are effective. So let's look at this and then notice the promise at the end. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, it's not saying that if you are not actively evangelizing, if you are in a down state, if you're not, it doesn't mean that you cannot have the presence of God with you. But this promise is for those that are on mission. Now, I'm not those that are overseas on mission, but those that have taken their core purpose has changed. We've talked about this before. There was a time in your life, you may not have identified it, you may not have understood it, some of you did under it. You had a purpose. You're headed in this direction. You're going. You have a purpose. You have a cause. You have a mission in your life. When you came into the kingdom, when you came to know Jesus,
That thing, it changed. I mean, it changed. Your core purpose of living and being and doing, it changed. Now, in reality, sometimes it just takes a little while to swing around. That's growth. You should be swinging around. And you should be aligned with the core purposes. So if you understand the purposes of God in this world, then you understand your purposes in this world. They should be one and the same. Let's go to another verse, Acts 1:8. And these are just obvious. There are many that are not quite as obvious as this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Who doesn't want power? That's talked about a lot. Certain circles, it's talked about a whole lot. We want power. But what's this in the context of? And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It's within the context of a mission, of you being on God's mission. Power to do, power to accomplish. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Should be familiar to you, one of our theme verses. So notice this about accomplishing a purpose and having power and doing those things. Notice that this is within the context of a mission. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of His calling and that by His power He may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in Him according to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we so many times unconsciously do is that we want to go in our own direction, accomplish our own things, and we want God's power to do it. And that's not the way that it works. Now, God is merciful. God is merciful. But that's not the design. That's not the way the system is designed. If we want to experience God's presence, if we want to experience His power, and we want answered prayer, and we want to walk close to God, we need to be on His mission. I don't mean part of the time. We want and need to be on His mission full time. And of course, John 15. 15:16, which I've already mentioned this, but you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. That's on mission. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Prayer directly connected to the mission. Your core purpose. And we've talked about this a lot of times in the past. And sometimes I don't know if it sticks. There is a core purpose change. You live for a different reason. You get up, you get dressed, and you head out into the world, and you have a different purpose, and you have a different mission than what you used to have. Even, and we won't go to all these to prove the point, even verses on marriage, on family, on spiritual warfare. We like to talk about those things on spiritual warfare. To me, it's just people use that in the completely wrong fashion. They use it to just protect themselves against attacks of the enemy. It's for when you're in the front lines, you're in battle, is when you need all that protection. And when you need weapons. That's when you need that stuff. And that's what it's designed for. It's designed for you to be in the battle, in the midst of it, about God's mission and about His purpose. In other words, if you are not, well, you are missing a central part of being a follower of Christ if you're not on this mission. You're missing a core part of being a follower of Christ if you are not on mission to accomplish what God is setting out to accomplish in this world. And we'll identify that more, and you already should have a feel for it. It's sharing your life and sharing the gospel as well. But we're headed to a little better definition of that as we move along. God has this goal of conforming us to the image of Christ. He has that goal for you. And many times you'll find this idea of growth associated with His mission. The two work hand in hand. And we saw this when we've been looking at Hudson Taylor's life for the men. You see this in his life. That one of the most motivating factors in his life to be conformed to the image of Christ, to bear fruit, the kind of fruit of character, or the virtues we've studied, one of the motives is that he was on mission for God. He was to see people come to know God. And that was a motivating factor in him to be conformed to the image of Christ, to rely totally on God. And you'll find this idea of growth mixed in with this philosophy of mission. And even you'll see solitude mixed in with this idea of directly related to our call. That it requires, in fact, if you were really to take on the mission of God, and you were really to give yourself to service to other people, to sharing the gospel, I will guarantee you your times of solitude with God would be increasing. If it was real, if you were really about God's business in the world, what you will find is your times of solitude with God will dramatically increase. So even our solitude with God is related to this mission that He has us on. And within this context of God's mission given to us, the same mission that Jesus came to this earth for, he spent some time with this in his last night. Remember his last, we've talked about this often from John chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, that the time he spent with his disciples, that this was around his mission on this earth and why he came here and what his purpose was, and that he was transferring this mission to them. And so let's go there briefly to John. Well, we're already there. I'm there. This idea that you read through here of intimacy with him, of fruit bearing, both fruit bearing of the kind of love, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, those things, self-control in our lives, and the fruit bearing of seeing other disciples made, of seeing people come to know God, that you'll see here that this intimacy with God, there's a direct correlation to the mission that He has given us. John 15:5. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains or abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Please tell me you see the intimacy there that has to do with the mission of Jesus that He's given us. If you're not on this mission, if you're not fully taking on this core purpose of having the same purpose that Jesus had in this world, then you are lacking in intimacy with Him. I took a big step there. I believe that to be true. Now, keep that in mind. And let's look, start at verse 8 and read through verse 15. Even the love and the joy that we have in walking with Jesus, the intimacy, the being friends of Jesus, those ideas, look at those. Is there this context of where these verses are placed? It's placed within the context of the mission that He has given us. So let's follow along with me. Verses 8 to 15. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. That does not go just for these apostles, just for these ones he's talking to, it goes for us. I have appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. God is on a mission to rescue and reconcile the world to Him. John 3:16. This is God's mission. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he does not believe in the name of God's one and only Son.
So, at great, great cost, God the Father sent the Son into this world to reconcile the world to him. He was on a mission. And that mission, as I hope you can clearly see, has been given to us. We are on that same mission. Now, of course, spiritual growth and loving the brother is a primary, is primary to this mission. Having families that are in order, having a husband that loves his wife, having a wife that respects her husband, those things are primary to the mission. But if you miss the mission and you try to accomplish those things, then you've missed the boat. It doesn't work. It just becomes ingrown. So, what was your former mission? You should be able to, you should think back and, you know, and maybe look at it and shake your head. And I was on a mission of destruction. You know, I was on a self-destruction mission. I was on a mission to have as much fun as I could possibly have in this world. I was on a mission to have as much adventure, I'm getting personal now, as I could possibly have in this world. As much to see, as much as I could see, to do, as much as I could do. What mission? Maybe to be as successful as you could possibly be. To make as much money. Maybe even to help as many people. You were on a mission before. And now, if you are in the kingdom, you are on a different mission. And everything has changed. Remember those words we used for salvation? Transformation, conversion, repentance, sanctification. All those things mean change. Everything has changed. You're a new creature. You have a new core purpose. I'm not telling you anything. I'm just telling you to live what you are. To live what God has made you. To live for the purpose that has already been given to you. We have taken on His cause and His purpose. Romans 8:5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. Former mission. That was you, that was me. Desire set on what the flesh, what the old nature, what the Adam nature desired. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. We've gotten a glimpse of what the Spirit desires, to reconcile man to himself, for us and others to be conformed to the image of Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:1 says that we are fellow workers with God. And John 3:1 talks about the enormous love that God has poured out on us, and we are His family. And we know from John 15 that we are called the friends of God. You see all these relational, these things of us connected with God and taking on His desires. And there's another word that we don't like to use that often, but we like to use friend and family and son and all those things. But there's another word in Romans 6:22. You know that word. Doulos. And people like to... Translators like to take that word and do funny things with it. Bond servant. The actual translation is slave. A slave to God. You were a slave to Satan, sin, and death. Like it or not, that's where you were. Now you're a slave to righteousness. A slave to God. You have taken on somebody else's purpose and somebody else's cause and somebody else's duty. You've taken that on to yourself. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you are doulos. Yes, you are all those other things. You are the friend of Jesus. You are the brother. You are the son. You are in the family of God. But don't forget this aspect. You are also doulos. Jesus made many comments, many statements similar to this. Take up your cross and follow me. Forsake all and follow me. Many statements like that throughout the scripture. David read one of them for us this morning. Hudson Taylor, who you've heard us talking about a lot today because we're studying him with the men. Hudson Taylor, who lived a life, and if you'll hear more and more, I'm sure, as we get more into his life and his life in China. He lived a life of extreme sacrifice, self-denial. He lost much. Yet he had this to say at the end of his life.
I never made a sacrifice. And then his son wrote this about him. His son, who also made many sacrifices just being with his dad. His son wrote this about him. What he said was true. I never made a sacrifice. What he said was true. For the compensations were so real and long-lasting that he came to see that giving up is inevitably receiving when one is dealing heart to heart with God. And Hudson Taylor dealt heart to heart with God. And you see when he makes these what we would call enormous sacrifices, you see him not turn his face to his sadness and to his loss. He turns his face to God, and God gives him an awareness of his presence and comforts him and strengthens him. And he carries on in supernatural strength in the presence and the joy of the Lord. And you see it time and time again in his life. He was on mission. He wasn't claiming that comfort just to live and do as he wanted to do. But he was claiming that comfort and expecting it from God. He was on mission, and God was happy to provide that for him, just as he promised he would to you and to me too. That's his promise to us. His presence will go with us. Now, most people are not called to this. I didn't say the sacrifice. Listen, hear me out. Most people are not called to leave their homes and their vocations. You may be called to that. If you're called to do it, please don't miss out on that opportunity if God calls you to do that. But he doesn't call all of us to do that. He doesn't call all of us to leave those things, to follow Jesus and make disciples. We are called to be insiders. We have the same exact mission as Hudson Taylor. We're called, we have the purposes of God at our core. We're on mission. But we're, most of us, not all, most of us are called to be insiders. Not to go off and to go to another culture and try to adapt to that culture. We're insiders, you see. We have an end to where we are, and we're called to carry out his mission there, in our vocations, in our homes, in our recreation, our circle of friends, our families, our culture that we find ourselves in. In fact, those vehicles, all those things I just mentioned, are vehicles for a higher and a selfless eternal cause, for the cause of the gospel. All those things are to be vehicles for God's mission and his purpose. And you say, wait a minute, if I do that on my job, I'll get fired. Well, maybe. But you probably don't really understand the full picture that we're talking about if you're saying that. Because you'll see that part of God's calling is excellence in whatever you are doing. Do you think Paul was a slack tent maker? I really doubt it. I really doubt it. I bet he was an extraordinary tent maker. Excellent in his field. But we don't remember Paul for being a tent maker. And I don't think you'll be remembered for doing whatever your vocation is. You probably, when I'm dead and gone, if you're still around, you won't remember me probably for how I preach. You'll probably remember me for my character. You won't remember Ken for being a good soldier, and he is a good soldier. You won't remember Carlton for being a good barber, and he does an awesome job, doesn't he? But that's not what you remember. That's not what you'll be remembered for. It's your character. And you will not have character unless you're on mission. Does not happen. You are designed for this. You're designed for this. Do you notice? Do you notice how when people give their heart and soul to something like success, somebody gives their heart and soul to be successful. That's their focus. Or they think that retirement is going to be it. And they get self-consumed and lost in the meaninglessness of it. And when people finally get the success they maybe they were looking for, it's like a vapor. And it's not what they thought it would be. It doesn't fulfill. Because that's not what you were designed to get your fulfillment from. Why do you see all these multi-billion dollar athletes? Why are they still taking drugs? They have everything you could possibly want. What kind of other satisfaction do they want? Because that stuff doesn't satisfy. It doesn't satisfy. And it won't satisfy you. It won't. You are not designed to live for yourself and for your own purpose and cause. You're designed to live for another. And until you really get a hold of that, you are not going to have these things we're talking about. the love and the joy and the peace and the comfort and the presence of God and abiding in Him and having this exhilarating joy of fulfilling a purpose and a cause that means something and that lasts for eternity. If you're still on your own course, then you cannot listen. You can go ahead and follow it to the end and end up lost and miserable and self-focused. That's where it goes. You have a higher calling. There is none higher than this calling we are talking about. You have this calling. It brings focus, balance, and purpose, even to raising a family. Without the mission, life gets meaningless. While you can see that we have an eternal view of these things, we also have an earthly love and compassion for others that was demonstrated by Jesus. He fed the hungry, didn't he? He said he had compassion. He fed the hungry. He healed the sick. He shared his life and the good news as well. That was how he lived, how he modeled for us. Now I'm making some assumption here as we move on that we won't go into great detail. There is a godly love that drives this mission that is beyond human love. And I started off this section talking about this, is that this is not about using people. It's not about gaining a number or making marks on a belt. It's not some sort of heavenly point system. It's driven by love. Not a love that you conjure up yourself, but a love that comes from God Himself, for God so loved the world. And when you are in step with Him, you have the same desire that He has. You begin to understand His love for others. And you begin to know Him more. You feel what He feels. You want what He wants. And you can know Him in an intimate fashion when you walk that road. So what we're going to talk about here is part C on your outline if you're following along. This was originally going to be the name of the message series. Kind of long, and so I figured Lori would talk me out of putting it on the bulletin. The culturally relevant way of evangelism from the Middle East to Middle America and from the ancient world to the postmodern world. So we're going to talk a little bit about methods. I'm afraid of talking about methods, but we're going to talk very practical, not today, but we'll get into some very practical things about sharing the gospel and sharing your life as well. Let's go to where this verse comes from. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 2:8. We'll start a little bit into verse 6, at the second half of verse 6. Well, we'll start with verse 6. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. That is at the heart of the biblical way of sharing the gospel. And we're going to dig into that way and understand it before we get through with this series. I do not want to leave this series without you really, really understanding what God's way is of sharing the gospel. That if you decide not to do it, then it's your decision. I don't want it to be because you don't understand it. So we're going to dig into it in this series and understand what it means to share the gospel and your life as well. And you may not like all of what you hear, as usual, I guess, but that's the way obedience is. Some things we'll be getting into. Number one, teaching and sharing the core truths of the Bible, the gospel. You, not me, you teaching and sharing the core truths of the Bible. I cannot overemphasize or over-encourage you that if you have not been through Firm Foundations, that you get into it. It is a systematic, chronological study of the Bible. You will understand the gospel when you get through. And we'll give you some more tools to understand it more deeply and to study it on your own. You see, when Jesus shared with someone, you'll notice what He did. There, He would give them some of the truth. Now, He wasn't, He didn't He didn't hide anything. He would say, come and follow me. It's going to cost you everything. Say that to just, you know, somebody, just a rank beginner. But then there are times you'll see he'll ask questions. He'll give as much as that person truth as they're ready for at the moment. Do they step a step closer? And then he gives them more of the truth. Not that he's afraid of giving the whole truth at once. But we have to understand the truth before we can operate like Jesus operated. We have the word. It can't be. Please, I'll get aggravated if I start thinking about memorization of you people having a series of verses memorized to share the gospel. This needs to be so much a part of you, it flows out of you. That's one place we're going. You need to have such a full understanding of the gospel that you know how to take a piece out of the middle and give that and then relate it to the whole. You need to understand this. And it takes study and preparation of the word, time in the word, to be able to do it. It's not some, like, I'm going to give you a one-page thing where you study these four spiritual laws and that's the way you share the gospel. We're not going to do that. But we will attempt to give you a full understanding, and that's what we're trying to do. So, teaching, sharing, that's one of the elements we'll look at. The next, sharing your life as well. You will find this even more challenging than number one. I will promise you when we understand this. You will find this more challenging than number one. Sharing your life as well is one of the missing ingredients of gospel sharing. Number three, developing partners and co-laborers. You have some feel for that. We'll go deeper. Number four, praying as if all the others depended on this one. Passionate prayer. There are some things also we'll look at that you may not expect. And we actually talked about some of these this morning with the men. And we saw this in Hudson Taylor's life. Learning how, practicing how, to respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Intimacy with God. Not leaving His presence. When you do, these things are absolutely critical to taking on God's mission in this world. Otherwise, it gets ugly. It just becomes you and your own strength doing something. And it's not pretty to see people trying to take on God's mission in their own strength. Not a good thing. We'll talk about solitude, intimacy with God, and those things that are a necessary ingredient to this also. I'm praying, and I hope you will be praying too, that this series will serve as a launching pad for each of you to develop partnerships and to share the gospel and your life as well for the sake of the call. It's what you were made for. I can't convince you of that. It's what you're made for. It's what, if you're piddling away your life focused on your own self and your own needs, you're a miserable person. I don't even have to sit down and talk to you to know that. You're not happy. If you are on God's mission, I mean really on it. I don't mean on it part-time. I mean really on God's mission. Then I'm sure you have God's presence with you. He promised that. You have intimacy with Him. You have fellowship with Him. You have joy. You have passion about God and His purposes in the world. We will include some things in this series that show you your responsibility in disciple making, not just in sharing the gospel, in continuing to invest in others' lives. And we'll talk about the fellowship and partnership and body life that's necessary if you would fulfill your call that has been given you. We hope that you'll be motivated to study and to learn, and that you will respond with a new passion and a new level of dependence upon God. That is my hope. That's our hope for your response to this. Like I said before, we'll be talking practical. And we'll discuss some things that you've been taught in the past. We'll talk about lifestyle of evangelism. And I've had this discussion with two people this week. Lifestyle, you've heard that. Share the gospel and use words if necessary. Lifestyle evangelism. You've got to use words to talk about the gospel. You've got to use words. But do you practice lifestyle evangelism? Of course you do. Of course. You do practice that. But there's more to it than that. We'll talk about friendship evangelism that sometimes can end up to where you're afraid to share the gospel because it will ruin your friendship. And we'll talk about the other end of the spectrum. We'll talk about confrontational evangelism, the four spiritual laws and confrontational debate, And then we'll talk about what I believe is God's primary method. All those things I mentioned are suitable at different times. Confrontation, debate, all those things are suitable at different times. But there is a primary way of living and a primary way of sharing the gospel that is more sacrificial than things on either side of that spectrum we talked about. And it's also more biblical. So you may have been taught, you may have gone through some courses. I'm not saying there's no value in those things, but I think there is a higher calling. And we'll get into that in some detail, I believe. And like I said, all those things I mentioned, you could give scriptural evidence for. And they are legitimate. And they may have their place. And we are not nearly starting from scratch here in our conversation about sharing the gospel in our lives as well. We're not starting from scratch. We've been talking about these things for a long time. Most of you have gone through firm foundations. You have some understanding of this. Most of you need to go through it again and get a deeper understanding. You need to study on your own. And we'll give you some homework. We'll give you some things to do to prepare and to equip yourself. I will be drawing much from personal experience. And I ran this by Ken and Carlton too. I asked them and I'm asked that if I overdo that, to please let me know. I don't want to get going on my own stories. If you know me, you know I can be guilty of doing that at times. So I'll try to keep that in check. But what I did the other day as I was going through this is I went back into my past and to when I first started understanding and taking on God's mission in my life. And how I would share that with other people. And I tried to lay that God's template, the scripture over that and see what matched up and what didn't match up. And look back and see, not in a pragmatic way where we're just going to do what works. No, we're going to do what scripture says. But I will share with you how doing what scripture says does generally work. And so I'll share with you. And so I've tried to go back and I've tried to analyze this person. And the thing, what we're talking about, this sharing your life as well, sharing the gospel in your life as well, is that time, I've done all these other methods. I've gone into Venezuela and I've gone into other countries. I've knocked on doors and done this cold stuff and have people pretend to accept the gospel. I've done all those things. I've gotten, sit on the by people on the plane at the airport and have good conversations and have some good conversations in this situation, that situation. But fruit, like fruit where you can point to it and say, that's fruit and it's lasting. Just like we read in John 10, that's fruit and it's lasting. What was the beginning of that? How did it play out? What did it look like? So I will share some of my personal experience of what I have seen work time and time and time again. And what I've seen not work too. The failures too. So, I hope you will be patient with me when we do go through those things. And I'd like to share one story with you. We're still doing good. Everybody all right here? Time's looking good. I thought I'd been here longer than I had. I'd like to share a couple of examples. I was reading recently of a guy that was in a Muslim country and a missionary. I mean, the guy is prepared and studied and a mature believer. And he had actually started a church in a Muslim country and was doing okay, but he knew something was missing from it. And so he had an older missionary come visit him. And so he's showing him around. They're doing things. And he goes in and he goes to the church. And he says, well, wait here in the courtyard. I've told some of you guys this on Wednesday night, but you get to hear it again. So he said, wait here in the courtyard. I've got to go make some coffee or something in the church. And he goes in, he does his little work, and he comes out, and he's standing there talking in close conversation with these young men that he could not get to listen to him for 5 minutes. There was no spiritual interest in these men. Yet this old missionary is there just carrying on this conversation with them, talking to them, they're smiling, they're laughing, they're engaging. And he just thought, he didn't say anything. He thought, what was that? And he got home and he got busy and he took the guy to the airport and he came back home and pretty soon there's a knock on the door. There's three or four young men and he said, hey, where's that old guy? We came to study the Bible with him. And he goes, what am I? Chopped liver? What's going on? What's up with this? And it And it hurt him. And he said, I got to find out. What is this? What's the difference? Is there some method he did? Or what's going on with this guy that they would listen to him? It's not that he didn't have any success or he wasn't in ministry, but there was something different. There was a different level at which this old missionary connected to these guys. And so he did a study. And he actually traveled around to different countries. I'll say the word successful, but I hope you know I mean that in the, not just in a numbers kind of way, but it's like these guys, he looked around for people that are having success in the Muslim world. Honest to goodness fruit and fruit that lasted. What was it about those guys that was different about everybody else that was laboring and not having any fruit? And so this is what he came up with. He had another missionary tell him this information, and then he went and sort of checked it out on his own. But he said, it's the cross, the evangelist explained. Go again and examine every case you are studying. See if there is not some point or a number of points in each of their lives where these men or women reached a tremendous crisis, a crisis that destroyed them, a crisis that brought them to their knees, a crisis that stripped them of themselves, where they died to themselves and cast their whole lives onto God. A cross experience. Death to self. Casting themselves on God. The words, I'm just reading this to you so you'll get it all. The words rung in my ears. Just 1 year before, my wife and I had faced a tremendous difficulty. It had brought us to our knees. It had crushed us, almost destroyed us, and left us asking why. The only answer we could find was that we needed crushing so that our old natures would be destroyed and that Jesus would shine through. In my heart, I knew that this was just the beginning of the work of God in my life. The trials He had taken us through hadn't done a complete job yet, but we were on the road. A cross experience. An ongoing cross experience. A death to self, where Jesus is really seen. You see, those young men were not drawn to an old missionary guy. They were drawn to Jesus. They were drawn to Jesus. That guy was willing to go through the crushing defeat. He was willing to go through the trials. And he didn't turn it in on himself. He put his trust in God. He died to self and he began to live like that. He didn't have to plan it. He didn't have to go get prepared. When those young men showed up, he was already there. He was abiding in Christ. And they saw, and they felt, and they saw, they smelled the aroma of Christ. And they were drawn to Jesus. The world was attracted to Jesus in them. They were from many different backgrounds, many different styles, many personalities. But this they had in common. They were dead to self and alive to Christ. They had forsaken all to follow Christ, and Jesus was seen in them. And he goes on to talk about that he saw, after struggling through all these things, he was able to see some, and relieved to see some, that didn't require necessarily the 2x4, the crushing defeat. He saw some that began to turn to God daily, dying to self daily, really depending on God and abiding in Him. And Jesus began to be seen in their life. Desire and willingness to share their life. And the wisdom and discernment to know when and how. And we're going to dig into those things. But you see the harder element, don't you? We're going to talk about all those things. And what the Scripture talks about, I believe, is a method, if you want to call it that, of sharing the gospel and your life as well. But if you missed this first point, this is the introduction. But still, it carries the most vital point of going to the cross. If you're not willing to do that, then you're not really willing to take on the mission. So don't, maybe I shouldn't even say this, but just don't even do it. Don't take on God's mission in your own strength. Not really. Don't try that. Go to the cross. Daily die to self. It's where the answer is. It's the answer that you're looking for. It's the answer to your marriage. It's the answer to your dissatisfaction. It's an answer to your unfruitfulness, for your lack of power. It is the answer. It hurts. It hurts. But it is the answer. That's where you got to go. That's where we have to go. If we want to make a difference in this world, in this community, in your homes, at your work, it's much deeper than what you expected. I really believe that. It's much deeper than what we expected. This has the potential, this study we're looking at, has the potential to focus your life, to give you eternal purpose, and define your calling. So I'm asking you to pray for this. I'm sending out this call that you would pray for this. Before the week goes by, you would get alone, solitude, you and God. It would take some time. I'd like to see you take some extended time, half a day, and seek God on these matters. Get right with Him so you can hear what we have to say next. Because if you hear what we have to say next on the surface and you try to apply what we have to say next, it's just going to be confusion. You're going to be miserable because you're giving up of yourself and your things that you still have a hold of and you're still trying to give them up. It's not going to work. So you got to plow the soil. You got to break up the fallow ground. Let God do that. Get with Him, let Him do that, and then receive the seed of the Word that He has planned for you over these next few weeks. So you guys be praying, and pray for me. I will be under attack. I will guarantee you it'll start when I walk out the door. Attack will come because this is not information that the enemy wants out there available to you. It's not. So pray for me. Pray for us. Pray for one another. Get some time. Get along with God and be expected to resist it when you try to get along with God. Expect that and push through it.